all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800. We want to welcome to Veterans Radio today an Air Force veteran, Frank Vera, who's involved with the George Air Force Base in some of the toxic base issues. Frank, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you, Jim, for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, this is an important issue, and it's one on Veterans Radio we're doing a little extra work on, which is, you know, the environmental condition at former military bases. But before we get too deep into that, let me give a little background to our listeners here. George Air Force Base is in Southern California. It has been operating as a Air Force base since around in 1941, when it was the Army Corps Advanced Flying School, and it closed. It changed its name once or twice. It became Victoryville Army Airfield in the 1943 area, and became George Air Force Base in 1950, and was decommissioned officially in 1992. Frank, when were you at George Air Force Base?
I was stationed at George in January 73 and discharged from George May 6, 74.
And I noticed a number of people in your group that are working on this issue. They all kind of either passed through or were stationed at George during a lot of the 70s and into the 80s period. Your co-administrator, I think, on one of the sites is Lisa McCree, and it seemed like she was maybe stationed there as a civilian.
Well, her dad was stationed there. She was a child at George. And one of the things that people need to remember is George is one of 141 Superfund sites, DOD Superfund sites in the United States. There are an additional at least 12 more, possibly more, that weren't listed as Superfund sites because of political reasons. These Superfund sites are the most contaminated parcels, or some of the most contaminated parcels of land in the country, if not the world.
And the timing on this is helps begin to tell the story, listeners. George Air Force Base was proposed for a Superfund site in 1989. It made the national priority list, which is that Superfund list, the next year in 1990. And if you'll remember, we told you it was finally decommissioned in 1992. So you maybe could draw some lines between knowing what was going on environmentally at the base and slating it for closure.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up, because the Air Force had just spent millions of dollars. They built a brand new hospital, all brand new dorms. They rebuilt the infrastructure, and it wasn't slated for closure. There were three officers in a news article that state that the Air Force intentionally provided false information that led to the recommendation to close George Air Force Base in California. There's a link to the website. It's, the news article, ex-officers, Air Force lied about the range. But I do find it very suspect that given the amount of miscarriages and stillbirths and childhood cancers that we had at George, the multitude of environmental issues, burn pits, open-air incinerator, VOCs in the groundwater and soil, extremely high levels of organochlorine pesticides in the housing, and the radioactive waste sites.
Well, and what's George. One of the things that I think non-veterans might be surprised at on these large bases, you have everything. You have landfills, you have incinerators, you have open pit burning that went on, or burn pits. We've done a whole series on burn pits over in Iraq and Afghanistan recently. The use of fire retardant foam, both in practice training and in real emergencies, the chemicals associated with that, the jet fuel that gets leaked or haphazardly spilt over the years, causing groundwater contamination, and specifically something called trichloroethylene or TCE, which in some parts of the world it would just be viewed as a degreaser cleaner on metal parts. But here in the United States, we know it's a cancer-causing solvent that's at George. It's contaminated two aquifers, I believe, and maybe is threatening a third in the Mojave River. So there's a whole lot of pollution going on there, isn't there, Frank?
Yes, there is. I've been told by several people within the DOD that George Air Force Base is far more polluted than Camp Lejeune. They say it's one of the worst contaminated sites in the country. I mean, worst contaminated military bases in the country because of the nature and extent of the contamination and the radioactive contamination at the base.
So Frank, is bring us up to speed. What is, whether it's DOD or EPA or just in general the federal government, what are they doing to clean up the problems today that exist at George Air Force Base?
Well, the Air Force has spent a little over $120 million on the cleanup out at George, but most of that money was spent generating reams of reports. Like any attorney knows, that if you go up against a large firm, the smaller firm gets papered to death. The regulators, whether they be the federal EPA, the state EPA, or the lead Lahontan Water Agency, they have one, maybe two people staffed to oversight George and sometimes another base as well. The Air Force has generated reams of documents with conflicting information, and they've just papered over the problem. They have done a little bit of environmental work, but most of it has been extremely sloppy. And if you're not truthful and honest, if there's no transparency, there can't be a cleanup because you have to acknowledge the true nature and extent of the contamination to address it. And the Air Force's whole goal seems to be just to sweep it under the carpet. And now they're proposing natural attenuation, which means that they're just going to walk away from the base and let the contaminants degrade over time. And
well, let me back up though. That I don't want this to turn into an environmental debate that that's the wrong cleanup method. I think that'd be an easy debate to have. But let me back up. How many folks do you have an estimate of how many living veterans have passed through, been stationed at the George Air Force Base during the operation?
Well, the Air Force hasn't really released any numbers on it, but looking at the base population and multiplying it by the number of years that the base was open, I estimate at least 100,000 men, women, and children lived on the base and in close proximity to the base. Most people, when they think of a military base, they think it's adults living there, but they forget that a lot of these adults have families. So you have, you know, spouses, developing fetuses, toddlers, young children living, going to school on the base, playing on the base. And it just seems that the DOD in general was rather irresponsible in failing to address the contamination when they knew or suspected a problem existed.
Well, let me approach this another way, because I want to give our readers some context. They're probably familiar with Camp Lejeune and the contamination there, and that finally Congress is making DOD and VA do something about it. Do you suspect that more people lived and worked and were exposed at George Air Force Base than were exposed at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina?
No, Camp Lejeune was a much larger base. But yeah, the estimates that I've heard, there's 3 million people who were exposed in and around Camp Lejeune. George, I figure there's a little over 100,000 people.
Okay, that gives us some perspective.
Yes, sir.
And of those folks, is DOD or VA doing anything to inform them or compensate them or provide health monitoring to the people who were exposed at George?
No, the Air Force has not been responsive. I've written them. I've asked them. I was on the Restoration Advisory Board for George for several years. I begged them to notify people of their potential exposure. Their attitude was it would be too costly. And the Air Force has been actively, it appears, the Air Force has not only not notified the people that were there, but when we, the injured, try to file for a Social Security disability claim or a VA claim, we need our medical records. It took me decades to get my medical records out of the National Personnel Records Center. I had to hire a law firm, pay him $6,500 and to find out that the Air Force is the legal owner of the records. The National Personnel Records Center is a physical custodian. The National Personnel Records Center has to get permission from the Air Force to release the records, and the Air Force was blocking the release of my records. We have a Facebook page, and I think it's about 20 people that have reported that they cannot get their records.
So is this, does the NPRC tell you the records aren't available, or that they're available and we can't send them to you?
No, that's the problem. For decades, I filed, Privacy Act request. I went to my congressman. I had my service officer. I went down to the regional office, filled out the form, and asked that the National Personnel Records Center release all my records. They repeatedly came back and said, well, we released your records to the VA regional office. I filed a FOIA under Freedom of Information Act / Privacy Act. What they should have done and what they were required to do is release all my files. If the records were to be withheld, they were required to redact them, give me the reason why the records are being withheld, give me my appellate rights, but they didn't do that. They just constantly lied. I filed an IG complaint with the National Personnel Records Center saying that they had not released my entire file. They responded by getting my entire C file from Los Angeles and burning it to disk and sending it to me. It was very nice of them. Better quality copies than I'd ever received. A few pages that I had not seen before. But again, they didn't release my records from the National Personnel Records Center. And it's just, it's inexcusable. It doesn't make sense.
Do you think Frank, they were hiding yours and other veterans who were stationed at George Air Force Base because they didn't want those medical records out?
I believe so. Any information regarding the military special weapon program, they're highly classified. Early generation nukes required a lot of field maintenance. They assembled them and maintained them. It generated a lot of radioactive waste. Out at George, they had open air atmospheric testing washdowns. So planes, aircraft left George, went to the Nevada test site, flew through the cloud, the atomic cloud after the blast, or flew in close proximity to it, taken photographs, came back to George, were decontaminated. That generated a lot of radioactive waste. It took years of FOIA requests to get records released about that. I think all the problems with the secrecy out at George begins and ends with the special weapons program.
And we should mention, I skipped over this at the front after saying I was going to talk to you about this. Why don't you tell us a little bit specifically about what you did when you were in the Air Force and stationed at George as a weapons mechanic?
All right. I entered the military when I was, you know, young during Vietnam. I had gone to a naval academy. Admiral Farragut Naval Academy. I wanted to get my junior ROTC out of the way. I wanted to go into the military. I wanted to go have the military pay for law school. I wanted to be a JAG for the military. And eventually, after my stint with them, go be an analyst with the FBI or CIA. That didn't happen. I ended up going into the military despite promising to send me to either the academy or allow me to go on reserve status and go into ROTC at a college to get my law degree. They said they had a greater need for me in weapons school. So I had extended back in EBI background investigation, went to tech school at Lowry Field Black Shack for weapons systems, was new qualified. Stationed out at George, I worked in the gun shop on the nose guns out of an F4E, and they had dropped a gun system on me, was crushed, put me on duty restriction, had me washing parts in hot trichloroethylene with no safety equipment. A couple of months later, was doing a little better. One of the people out of the gun shop out at George was killed in Vietnam. Was moping, and just got on the dirt bike and rode out to the motocross track, opened a barrel. Granted, it was stupid to open the barrel, but I was on an awful lot of painkillers and muscle tranquilizers and been working with TCE, so my judgment wasn't the best. Opened a barrel, dug down into it, and was hospitalized later on that day. My lungs started burning. Tried to make it back to the barracks, ended up in the middle of the road having convulsions, tremors, seizures. A man in a powder blue Dodge pickup truck, and a man and his son picked me up, put me in the back of the truck, took me to the hospital. They pumped my stomach, irrigated it, pumped it again. They had thought I had taken too many painkillers or something. 4 days later, I wasn't in the shop. The shop sent out somebody find out what I was doing. They took me right to the hospital because I was in really, really, really bad shape. Went from 190 pounds down to 134 with blood coming out of everywhere.
So as you can see, those medical records you were searching for, because you had all that, you know, hospitalization and treatment during time of service, those medical records were critical to ultimately being able to establish your disability claims, and that's why when they told you they don't exist, you're going, I know they existed. I was there.
Right.
You know, I mean,
well, when they dropped the gun system on me, it 1,500 pounds is a lot. It knocked me out, dislocated my right shoulder, broke my sternum, cracked three or four ribs on the side, right side, crushed the vertebrae in the spine, cracked my SI joint loose on both sides. I spent quite a bit of time in the hospital. You know, they didn't even allow me to get my claim straight for the back injury.
Well, let me move on to one other quick thing before we run out of time, because it's a story that's told on your website, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it's Terry Crooks' story about how she was assigned to George Air Force Base in 1980 through early 1982, and her challenges to get her VA benefits approved. and her exposure to chlordane and other organochlorine pesticides that were used actually in base housing in the dorms and the barracks. And, you know, and we could all visualize them doing it. We've been there when they've done this. They walk through and spray everything down with something. At the time, we're too young and dumb to know what the something is, but to kill all the bugs, and we're just glad the bugs are gone. So tell us a little bit about, I mean, seriously, we are. Can you tell us a little bit about Terry?
Yes. Terry had contacted me. Let me back up a little bit. I had all these ladies contacting me, telling me they were infertile. And about the eighth phone call, I asked the lady, "What do you mean you're infertile?" And she goes, "Well, I have kids and I can't carry them to full term." And I go, "Well, that's not infertile. Something's happening." I couldn't figure out what it was because I was mainly focusing on the radiation out at George. I contacted one of the oversight agencies, and they said, "You really need to look at this." Organochlorine pesticide issue at the housing. So I started doing some looking at it, and I was not up to speed. There's thousands of pages of documents on this thing. And so the person sent me documents, told them didn't get it. They narrowed it down, and then finally I caught on. So I started building a page for the organochlorine pesticides out at George. Sorry. And and then Terry saw the page and contacted me and said she was working on her VA CMP claim. She said she had, you know, all these issues, these medical issues. What do I think is a problem? I told her, well, I really don't know, but the only thing we have real solid documentation on is this organochlorine pesticides. So we put together, we talked over about 3, maybe 4 months. She'd let me know what she's doing, ask for documents, I'd send them to her. She ended up winning. She set a precedent for pesticide exposure out at George. I thought it was a really big deal. I sent it off to everybody. I sent it off to all the news organizations, and no one was interested.
Yeah.
You know, I reminded them that these organochlorine pesticides were used at every single military base. The military doesn't do anything without a tech order and a work order. These directives come down from DOD to the various branches, and they apply them like they say they were supposed to, you know, these pesticides are supposed to be applied. And so she ended up winning her claim.
She had,
which
she
was,
had both issues with breast cancer and with ultimately a hysterectomy because she couldn't bring children to term or fetus to term.
Yes.
So I wanted to bring that in. We're just about out of time, but I wanted to bring it up because for our listeners to understand, and we're talking to Frank Vera, who's an activist on these specifically at George Air Force Base, but on these a veteran who's involved with these toxic space issues, it's such a wide variety of chemicals. We're talking about things from nuclear to solvents like TCE to pesticides like these chlorine pesticides. And you know, there's discussions on PCBs on it being used at the site. The whole thing. It's really challenging for the veteran to sort it out, isn't it, Frank?
It is. The amount of data that's available is overwhelming. And the clincher for Terry was the Air Force had leased the housing units to Victorville, the city of Victorville. City of Victorville subleased it to the Marines to do urban warfare training. The Air Force caught wind of it, and they were upset that Victorville was allowing these people to train there for a couple hours a day for, you know, a couple weeks. they sent the Victorville a letter saying, you know, you can't train them there. The amount of pesticides that were found in the housing could be hazardous, or if you inhale them, dermal, ingest them. And so the Air Force notified Victorville, the recipient, but they refused to acknowledge what they did to us who had to live in the housing for years.
So by hard work and digging through all the documents, you found something that was an admission by the Air Force that acknowledged that the levels were hazardous to human health. Well, good job for Terry. Good job for everybody working on that issue. But it is unfortunate you have to work so hard. Let's wrap up here, Frank. Tell folks how they can follow some things you're doing on the web or on social media. Give us a rundown.
All right. So I have a website, georgeafb.info. It has just about everything that we have gathered so far in a fairly easy to understand format. There's contact information at the bottom left-hand corner of each page. We also have two Facebook pages, an open Facebook page, and then one for the people that were stationed at Georgia that were injured. And we do have an awful lot of injured people. The people who were harmed the most were the women and young children that lived at Georgia, especially the young girls. Because these organochlorine pesticides are persistent, they don't break down over time. Well, they don't easily break down. They bioaccumulate. They're stored in the fat. When a woman gets pregnant, the body starts cannibalizing the fat stores, releases these organochlorine pesticides. They cross the placental barrier and do quite a bit of damage to. Or have done quite a bit of damage to some of these children.
Remind our listeners that, and you can tell Frank's passionate on this, and we could talk for an hour, but you might listen for the hour. So I want to bring you back to. I want to thank Frank Vera for being my guest today on Veterans Radio, and I want to direct people to georgeafb.info for more information. You certainly can contact him there and participate both with knowledge that you have and additional information that you may need. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans, and you can reach us at 800-693-4800 or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.